Are consumers buying us into a better economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. It's The Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A jobs bill detour and let the games begin. Well, let's. Where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P off more than 1.25%. The NASDAQ down about 1%. And the Dow off right now 133 points at 10,010. European markets are mixed right now. The German DAX is up, despite the fact that German GDP was reportedly flat last quarter. Stocks closed mostly higher in Asia today. We got word today from the United States government that retail sales rose by more than expected in January, about 0.5%. Conrad DeQuadros is economist at RDQ Economics. He's with us live this morning from New York. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is being billed as good news, right? Better than expected. So I'm curious, 9.7% unemployment, tight credit at the banks. I mean, what's driving consumers right now? How are they spending?
Well, I think a combination of two things. Although the labor market remains weak, we have seen some improvement. And, for example, real disposable income rose a little bit more than 2% in the fourth quarter. So these gains in income, I think, are what are allowing us to see continued modest increases in consumer spending.
Auto sales were pretty much flat in the report as well. I mean, are you surprised that all the millions of Toyotas that were recalled didn't have more of an effect on sales?
Well, if we look at the manufacturers' reports on auto sales, those showed about a 4% decline.
That came out earlier this month, right?
That's correct. That came out early in February, and that's the number that matters for measures of autos within GDP. So I think that we are going to see the Toyota effect at least in January.
If we had this relatively positive retail report, I'm looking at Wall Street. Let's see. The Dow's still down about 1.33% right now. Investors don't seem to be happy about something. What is it? Is it the sovereign debt issue?
I definitely think that sovereign debt concerns are driving the markets today. We have continued concerns about Greece and the realization that we're probably not going to get a definitive announcement related to support for Greece. And also what's happened more recently is some concerns about Dubai, which was the sovereign crisis of November and December, have reemerged. And those two issues are driving the markets lower today.
Conrad DeQuadros, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
There was bipartisan support for a jobs bill that was expected to make it through the Senate. Lots of compromises, money shifted from one place to another, accommodations made to gain votes, all for naught. In a surprise move, Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid decided a trimmed-down bill should move forward. Reporter Brett Neely is with us live in our Washington Bureau this morning. Good morning, Brett.
Morning, Steve.
So why the trimmed-down bill?
Part of it comes from the fact that no one's really been happy with this bill. Hours before Reid's announcement, Senators Baucus and Grassley had announced a bipartisan bill worth about $85 billion that was made up mostly of tax breaks. But a lot of Democrats said too many tax breaks, too few measures that would actually create jobs. Then there were also accusations that this bipartisan bill was really full of pork for special interests. Republicans are outraged and say, we had a deal, now you're backing out. With the weak job market right now and elections coming up, Harry Reid is daring Republicans to vote against any bill, that would be aimed at creating jobs.
And what happens next? I mean, how do we move forward from here, Brett?
Well, that's a big question mark for everyone. The bill that Harry Reid wants to move ahead with is a lot smaller. It's about $15 billion. It extends a highway spending bill for another year. There is a tax break for small businesses and the Build America bonds for local governments. But no one's all that excited about this bill either. Other elements in the Baucus and Grassley version of the bill, like extending unemployment benefits, are supposed to be taken up separately. Liberal Democrats say this bill is going to be too small to make any difference. A lot of economists are dubious that this is going to have much impact. And then the House had also passed a version of a jobs bill that was $150 billion worth of spending, and that would have to be reconciled with this one. So we'll see when Congress gets back to work on February 22nd.
Reporter Brett Neely with us from our Washington Bureau. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
You're
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, February 12th, 2010, at marketplace.org. The economic engine of Europe has run out of steam. Figures just released show the German recovery has stalled. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
Europe's powerhouse helped pull the rest of the eurozone out of recession in the first half of last year, but the German economy stagnated in the last quarter. The end of the cash for clunkers scheme hit demand at home, and exports failed to pick up the slack. Germany is now suffering from Chinese competition. Germany's weakness is casting a pall over the rest of the eurozone, and that, says Charles Dumas of Lombard Street Research, means more trouble for the single currency.
The euro economy is feeble, and I would be expecting investors in Euroland to be trying to get their capital out into places where there are rather better prospects, and of course that will bring down the euro.
He says the Germans have made matters worse for themselves and the euro by insisting on big cuts in public spending in Greece and other southern European countries. He says that will further undermine demand for German goods. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A report on America's top health insurers is out. It makes for good reading if you're an investor, not so much if you're a consumer or a patient. Healthcare for America Now, it's a pro-reform group, says profits soared last year at the top five private insurance companies in the country. At the same time, more than 2.5 million people lost coverage. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Combined profits at UnitedHealth, Humana, Aetna, WellPoint, and Cigna rose 56% in 2009, and the share of premiums actually spent on healthcare declined at several companies. Judy Fader is with the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They are actually increasing their premiums and increasing their profits while dropping people from their roles.
2008 was a terrible year. So the comparisons, while numerically correct, leave out a bit of context.
Healthcare analyst Les Funtleiter at Miller Tabak says millions of people lost coverage last year because they lost their jobs, not because insurers purged their roles. Still, he says, higher profits and premiums in a recession doesn't make the industry look good. A spokesman for the industry's trade association said financial performance did improve in 2009, but said insurers still operate at lower profit margins than medical providers and drug companies. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The holiday of love, hearts, flowers, dinner for two, maybe a movie. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports Hollywood's got Valentine's Day covered with a new flick that features a roster that's sure to please the masses.
Julia Roberts, Shirley MacLaine, Ashton Kutcher, Jamie Foxx, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, McDreamy, and McSteamy. A familiar face for every age and stage of romance.
There you have it, young love, full of promise, full of hope, ignorant of reality.
Valentine's Day was reportedly made for under $50 million. Pretty unreal, considering all those celebrities. Mark Lachter covers the entertainment industry for LA Biz Observed.
The ensemble approach is probably one that we might keep seeing because it is pretty cost effective.
Big stars like Julia Roberts are paid less because they spend only a short time on set. Jason Squire, editor of the Movie Business Book, says some celebs also get paid from the movie's profits.
So that they share in the success, and only if the movie is successful.
If there's love at the box office this weekend, a lot more holiday get-togethers could be in the works. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The NBA All-Star Game is Sunday in Dallas, and that means we'll be treated to some high-flying hoops with the big slam dunk contest. But as Nancy Fargali reports, the event is trying to find its place in a new landscape.
Last year, Lakers guard Shannon Brown watched the dunk contest on TV. This year, he's in it, thanks to a reputation for defying gravity.
Oh, wow. My goodness. The young fella decided to get on the trampoline.
The Lakers put together a highlight reel of Shannon Brown to get him into the dunk contest. And now Nike is even developing a shoe for him to wear during the competition. Brown doesn't mind the attention.
They have big expectations and high hopes for me to go out there and do some crazy stuff.
And so does the NBA. The dunk contest used to be the event of the season besides the finals. It was a platform to show off the NBA superstars doing superhuman things. And, of course, sell jerseys and shoes.
I definitely remember the dunk contest. Michael Jordan and, you know, Dominique Wilkins, Vince Carter and, you know, Tracy McGrady and guys like that. They had some, you know, pretty impressive dunks.
like this one from a young Michael Jordan. He ran down the court and jumped from the free throw line and soared in the air.
Here comes Michael Jordan. Five.
Jordan won the slam dunk contest twice in the 80s. Lang Whitaker is the executive editor of Slam magazine. He says star players today, like LeBron James, have bigger endorsements at an earlier age.
For Jordan and Dominique, the dunk contest was a really good way to get exposure. But for the younger guys today, they're already on TV 2, 3, 4 times a week. There's games on cable. There's games on the internet.
Ann Whitaker says the NBA's growing popularity means that big names don't need contests for exposure. The NBA has its own cable network. And last year, the league's national television ratings were up. So why keep a contest that's shunned by the league's biggest stars? Whitaker says the NBA wants to protect its brand.
There's guys who have never played in the NBA who are known for dunking. And that's basically just via the internet.
Whitaker says the NBA wants its players to be known as the world's premier dunkers. I'm Nancy Fregali for Marketplace.
Winter Olympics open tonight in Vancouver, and the mayor of that city in Canada is promising the Games will be a big boost to business there. But judging by the past, how likely is that, really? Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
A business professor who studied the 2002 Salt Lake Games has a much different take on how beneficial the big event will be.
I don't doubt that it might make the people of Vancouver happy, but it's certainly not going to make them rich.
Victor Matheson teaches business at Massachusetts College of the Holy Cross and says, if anything, the Salt Lake Games were a net loss. But if that's true, the head of the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce, Lane Beatty, wonders why most people there ended up so happy.
Something like 89% of all Utahns would do it again. So that is overwhelming.
Beatty served as a state liaison during the Utah Games and insists they made money.
We were successful in literally every way.
Professor Matheson contends his study found otherwise. Hotels and restaurants scored gold, but other businesses and tax revenues suffered.
Department stores had a notably poor time during the Olympics, and of all things, ski resorts actually had a terrible month.
You heard that right.
Spectators crowded out the skiers.
Perhaps understandably, the view from the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce is much brighter.
Our ski industry in Utah has grown larger every single year since the Olympics.
Aha, so maybe there is a downside after all. Longer lift lines. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, they're having a lot of trouble getting snow in Vancouver for the Games. Well, Boston can feel their pain. Forecasters predicted last week a foot of snow in Beantown. Officials declared a snow emergency. That meant no parking on main streets to let the plows through. But the snow never really came. Now the mayor of Boston says all those people, thousands of people who got tickets or their cars towed, won't have to pay for any of those tickets. The economy, he says, has left too many people feeling chilled. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Join us online, share your thoughts, and get the podcast at marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.